This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dakshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the Season 3 of the Deliberate Talks podcast. And today with us, investing his experience into a conversation about career and financial planning, is Soren Parekh. Hi, Soren. How are you doing, dude?
Hi, Dakshin. I'm good. Very happy to be here.
Glad. Likewise, I'm happy to host you. Soren is a writer and a content marketer with Paytm, and he's fond of true crime, humor, and cricket. But first thing first, Soren, leave aside crime, humor, and cricket. How did you end up in Paytm, and what did you do before that?
Okay. So I don't think it's as much as a challenge as people imagine of getting into a big company like Paytm. Because even big companies, let's say like Paytm or bigger tech companies like maybe Google, Amazon, Microsoft, all of these companies, they require quality talent to be on board. I joined Paytm earlier this year because I wanted to have a larger role compared to what I was doing earlier. I started my career as a copywriter in 2004 with an ad agency. Post which, in 2007, I moved to financial writing with a research publication called Value Research.
Okay.
There, I worked as a writer-editor for 8 years and pretty much learned everything about finance on the job.
Wow.
Before I joined Value Research, I had no clue about personal finance or anything related to mutual funds, investing, stocks, insurance, nothing of that sort.
Right.
While I was editing articles and writing for them, I got a hang of everything. And then I moved to startups in 2016 with ClearTax. And so past 5 years, I've been into the startup space, worked as a content writer. And then I've seen content writing evolve into content marketing. And currently, I lead the content marketing charter for Paytm.
Superb, yeah. Superb. And tell me about that interview that you had at Paytm. How was that like?
It was the first time I was interviewing online entirely, because of the pandemic. So that, usually in a physical interview setup, you kind of have a better hang of, how the person opposite to you is feeling about you, or, from the body language also, you can make out whether they are accepting what you're saying, or, there's something that you need to quickly do.
Right.
Which is a big challenge when you're interviewing online. But I had some good conversations with the folks at Paytm. I met the business head, I met the marketing head, the design head. And essentially, they had a lot of questions for me because content marketing as a function was kind of new for this business vertical. So they had a lot of questions that they wanted to get answers. And I think they would have been satisfied with what I had to say since I'm here.
Right. And you did mention about how you have, moved from agency setup to a startup setup, right? So in your words, say three pros of working in a startup and three cons of working in a startup.
If I should begin with the cons, I think the cons would be that, like not particularly a con, but startups are often glamorized a lot. All of us hear or read in the media about stories of founders who raise like so much funding in millions, and there are startups which, so this itself, we have seen a ton of startups becoming unicorns. It seems like you can compare it with Bollywood maybe, or with the film industry. Everybody wants to work at startup because it's high-paced environment, there's a lot of good work to be done, a lot of real problems that startups are solving. But the reality is that it's a lot of hard work as well.
Right.
Like whatever goes into making a movie, there's a lot of hard work that is done by a lot of people before you see any actor or any actress or any good direction in a movie.
Right.
Similarly, for a startup also, you see a founder raising the funding, but there's a lot of work that happens behind him with his team, with his or her team. And so, it is also a lot of hard work. It's a lot of fun also because you will get to see a lot of changes. You get to experience different things. Like if you're a marketer, you'll also get to interact with sales team, design teams, see how these teams work. You can also be part of customer support to understand what are the problems that your business is facing in terms of the customers that they have and how can your particular function help in solving these problems for the customers that you already have, as well as for the prospective customers that you want to onboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I went across from your question, but let's say cons would be that maybe, you know, it's not an environment for everyone. Somebody who is, wants a more stable kind of job, more of a steady job, maybe a startup is not for them.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, I can't think of a lot of cons because, you know, there's a lot of work-life balance also at startups. You know, it's not like as if startups is not a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite flexible in terms of, you know, most startups have flexible timings. A lot of startups now have four-day weeks. So you can pick your time. You can, and we work on goals rather than on, you know, time. So right. We don't track the time that somebody's spending. We have OKRs or KRAs, which are quarterly broken down into monthly and weekly. Mm-hmm. And as long as the KR is being met, then I don't think where this startup wouldn't care about, you know, how much time you're spending.
Right. Interesting. Because Soren, the point that you picked up about work-life balance, very interesting, is because I think it depends on which startup and where you're working, right? Because a lot of startups actually contribute to work fatigue. And, you know, because they're a startup, there's always a culture which says, you know, we need to keep hustling till we reach our milestones. So there is a debateful conversation about the work-life balance in a startup. But, you know, from your perspective and where you are working, it looks like a more flexible and more work-friendly atmosphere. But because you have experience in this and because of the multiple stories that you hear about other startups, probably the smaller setups, do you think for someone who's starting their career, is it a good thing to start a career in a startup? Or do you think they should probably, you know, be a part of agencies like you started your career? Or where? How do they start their career?
I think when I started my career, there were no startups. I started my career in 2004.
Right.
And there were very few types of companies back then. But if somebody is starting the career right now, and you know, they should definitely think of startups. You know, it depends entirely on the person whether they want to go for an agency or, you know, a larger corporate, an MNC or a startup. But there are a lot of advantages of starting the career with a startup, because like I said earlier, you can do a lot of different things before you actually figure out what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like a young person who is just out of college and looking to, you know, start work now would have a rough idea of, you know, what they want to do in life. Mm-hmm. But this kind of idea can also change very quickly and very, you know, suddenly. Like you might figure out that, you know, we ourselves know that a lot of engineers end up in a different kind of roles entirely. Mm-hmm. Like I have people in my team who are engineers. They don't want to engineers. They wanted to do marketing or content. People are passionate about writing, so they try to get into content. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of thing which you can explore with a startup versus, you know, you might not get that opportunity to do with a larger company.
Right.
Once you get in the startup, if it's an early stage startup, then most of the people in an early stage startup are wearing a lot of different hats.
Mm.
So, you know, I've myself worked in content, but I've also, you know, helped a bit with design. I've done customer support. I've done sales. So, you know, in smaller parts,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, if I wanted to change from, let's say, marketing to sales, I could have done that in a startup. So kind of opportunity does come. And, you know, to elaborate on the work-life balance thing, I think the hustle culture is there at startups, but largely not only in the startups that I work for, I've also seen, or, you know, when I talk to my peers or the people I work with across, you know, or the people I interact with,
mm-hmm.
everybody largely is now seeing a change where work-life culture is, you know, given more attention than it was, let's say, 2-3 years back. Earlier, what used to happen was we have all heard stories of people getting pinged for work late in the night or very early in the morning because the managers or the bosses knew that they were here. That has now changed because people who are working at startups, they understand the value of work-life balance, which is forcing also the startups to understand why, you know, their employees need to have work-life balance. And also, you know, when of larger startups or, you know, popular startups do that, then those other ones also tend to follow, because retaining talent also a very big issue with startups.
Right. Absolutely. True. So, Soren, the other part of, you know, career is talking about from the financial perspective as well, right? When we talk about startups, there's also a salary point of view, right? Some of the startups pay you really well when you compare it with an agency or from a corporate perspective, right? And then there are bad days with investors and cash crunches with most of the startups when you don't get salaries for months. And you've been into the finance, personal investment, and other aspects of it as well. How does one plan their career financially and professionally in such a case?
I think I'm going to be speak like a broken record. And this is something that, you know, anyone who's into investing will tell you that the sooner you start investing, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thumb of rule, but it's something that I did when I started working. In the first 2 years when I was with an agency, I didn't understand investing. I didn't know about investing. So I was not investing. I was pretty much spending what I was earning, which was anyway not a lot. Mm-hmm. But when I moved to Value Research, I started to understand the value of investing. And, you know, I started to invest 10% of what I was earning.
Okay.
And as my salary grew for a few years, it was still 10%. But because I was earning a little bit more, I was able to invest also a little bit more. That 10% itself grew.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I was more comfortable, I increased the quantum of investments as well. And so, you know, like anybody who's starting to work and, you know, they want to plan, they need to plan for their future because, like you correctly mentioned, you know, salaries can be exorbitant to begin with and you can end up facing a concern later on.
Right.
When you're not earning or, you know, you're suddenly out of a job or the startup you are working with shuts down, they end up without money. So in such a case, whatever you've saved in the past is what is going to be useful to you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, start saving as much as you can. Begin with, let's say 10% and then keep increasing as you keep earning a lot more.
Right. Makes sense. Okay.
Also, I think a lot of young people, they tend to ignore insurance.
Yeah. I was getting that too, in fact, you know, again, from the benefits perspective of startups, you know, no FDs, no insurances also from that aspect of it. You know, a lot of people struggle with that anyway as a conversation. How did you plan this better during your journey towards startups?
So now startups, you know, or even smaller companies who have less than 20 employees can provide health insurance. There are startups themselves who are solving for this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are startups like Plum. There is a couple of other places where, you know, they allow smaller setups to provide health insurance to their employees.
Right.
So while that gets taken care of now, but it's also important for every individual to have their own insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
There are, because, you know, let's say you move from one place to another and there's a gap of 2 months or 1 month where you're not employed by anyone. At that point, if you don't have your own insurance policy, you'll be left without insurance.
Right.
And go forward, something happens, that would result in a big financial crisis, you know, for not only you, but your family who will have to then support you.
Mm-hmm.
So insurance kind of, you know, health insurance makes a lot of sense to have right from the start. And it's not very expensive also. On top of that, you get income tax benefits on the premium that you pay.
Right.
So it's beneficial all around to have insurance when you begin.
Right. Okay. And you know, just extending that conversation of finances, another part to career is converting hobby into a career, right? You love writing. You've converted it into a career for yourself. And how does one not compromise on salaries when they shift from a career into pursuing their hobby full time? And how do they plan their financial stability in this case if they do?
To be honest, I did compromise on my salary because, right, you know, when I started working in the first few years, like, you know, the environment right now is very different from the way it was in early 2000s or even mid 2000s.
Right.
Right now, there are a lot more opportunities and a lot more things that, you know, with internet and everything that everybody can do. So let's say, to answer your question, if somebody's, you know, it's doing some kind of a job right now and they want to turn their passion or their love into their career,
mm-hmm,
then they can start it as a side hustle.
Mm.
You know, they can work out on the evenings or weekends. You know, let's say a salesperson, to use example of a salesperson who wants to get into writing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's no need for the, you know, for that individual to leave their day job. They can keep doing that during the weekdays. But mm-hmm, in the evenings or in the weekends, they can explore their writing passion as a career option.
Right.
And once they're able to, you know, do some freelancing or to do some, they can start online on their own. Once they have a comfort level where they can, you know, make a decent amount of money out of it, then that is when they can make the shift entirely.
But from a financial perspective, apart from the freelancing bit, right? Like you said, you've taken a hit. And I know a lot of friends who have, you know, taken a hit with respect to salaries and this thing. Is it a wise move at that point of time, thinking from a long-term perspective? Or do you think you need to save enough to then get into that career mode?
I think there are two sides to this coin. Mm-hmm. There is actually never an ideal time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everybody needs money. And, you know, if you don't do it very early in your career, you might not be able to do it later on. Because then, you know, typically for us in India, we then tend to get married and then family, children, and then children's education and all of that. You know, you get into a home, you have a home loan EMI.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know, postpone doing this, the difficult it's going to get.
Right.
So the earlier you can make the shift or, you know, take that risk, that's also most advisable.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, if you have actually, you know, let's say you work for 2 years and you save something for those first 2 years, you might be able to make the shift third year without bothering too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have some saved money and you might not have a lot of responsibilities.
Right.
So the sooner you can, the better. Which also, you know, why all we also see a lot of young founders starting up.
Mm-hmm.
There are also, like, you know, older people who start up, but yeah, the risk is a lot easier to take when you're younger as opposed to when you're older.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, just going back to this conversation about the startup culture beyond the financial conversation that we had, what's your motivation to not start something of your own? I'm very keen on understanding that.
I am motivated to start something of my own. Mm-hmm. And I have been exploring a couple of ideas over the past 2 years. The honest answer is that I have not chanced upon an idea which has moved me enough to start something of my own.
Right. Because I think, you know, from the startup culture, you see a lot of pumped up energies around you to meet goals and milestones, right? It does rub on you as well. So a lot of people who kind of contemplate at that point of time, like you said, probably need the right kind of idea and you're all set to do it. A lot of people are in that situation right now in startups as well. When is that right move? Though you've said that there is no right time to start something of your own or take that career leap. Do you think there needs to be a proper planning before you exit into a career mode and get into an entrepreneurial mode?
Yeah, proper planning would definitely help. But the right time for me hasn't come so far because I didn't want to start up for the sake of starting up.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to start up when you know, that one idea really clicks.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was whenever I keep getting ideas and I try to, you know, explore them, I try to research about them. Try to do a little bit with them and try to figure out if this idea is viable or not for the long term.
Right.
So to validate the idea is, you know, once you have validated an idea which you think has a long term potential, then that would be the ideal time to start.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Great, Soren. With that, we conclude the first round of questions and we are quickly going to speed up things and head towards a rapid fire round of questions. It starts in 3. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay then. 3 best read-ups, articles, books, podcasts, videos for career tips.
The Minimalist Entrepreneur by Sahil Lavingia. It's, mm-hmm. It's a book that he's just recently come out with. He's, by the way, the founder of Gumroad.
Right.
And has a very different non-unicorn approach to starting up, which is very useful. I found it very useful. I'm reading it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helping me a lot. So that's definitely one. But one book as a writer which appealed to me at all was On Writing by Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
Any writer, whether, you know, somebody who's looking to do content writing or fiction writing or any sort of writing, that's definitely a book that a writer should read.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one I would say is a book that influenced me a lot was On Advertising by Ogilvy. It was kind of the book that pushed me into copywriting.
Okay. Fantastic. 3 best read-ups for financial tips.
Go to valueresearchonline.com. It's the most comprehensive source of, you know, unbiased financial tips and advice on everything from investing, mutual funds, income tax, insurance. So, like I said, I learned everything about personal finance on the job, and Value Research is the entire source on that. Apart from that, the Small Case blog, which is a very good resource on, you know, passive investing, and there's the Clear Tax resources on insurance, on income tax. Very useful.
Okay. Your inspiration to do better in career?
My peers, as well as my own understanding of what I'm doing. So my largest inspiration has been observing the changes that are happening in my field and trying to make myself and my work reach those standards, which, let's say, my peers or, you know, other companies have achieved.
Okay. And in your words, working in a startup feels like, complete the sentence.
Working in a startup feels like a lot of fun, a lot of energy.
Okay. And three startups you absolutely adore by the way they've grown or how they function.
I adore Cred a lot because of the way it has grown. It now started from credit card bill payments to, you know, other kind of payments like rent, and now they have their own e-commerce store as well. And it's a very fascinating story to follow as well. So Cred is one of them. Apart from that, I adore Gumroad. You know, I mentioned Sahil Lavinia earlier. I adore his startup as well because of the problem it solves. So, you know, to help the small creators, you know, sell their art is essentially what Gumroad does. And one more I would say is, I think a startup that I'm using a lot these days, Dunzo. Dunzo right. Also has, the whole marketing of Dunzo is beautiful. And, you know, often marketing leads to a poor product, which is not the case of Dunzo. So Dunzo is another startup that I really adore.
Okay. And finally, what's next for you?
I see myself at Paytm for a few years. And at the same time, I see myself working on my own startup and the own product that I was speaking about. And hopefully I can scale that to a level where I can do it full time.
Okay. And before we sum up this conversation, five tips for people who are stuck between career and hobby. According to you, how should they plan their shift better?
Tip one is, don't leave your day job before you have enough runway in terms of money. Let's say 6 months of expenses to cover. Tip two would be to start your hobby or your passion, turn it into a freelancing or side hustle, a weekend project thing, and see how well you can, you know, do well in it. Tip three would be to not prolong this for too long, because there's no idle time. The sooner you can do it, the better. And tip four would be to, you know, enjoy, have fun with whatever you're doing, whether it's your job or your side hustle. If you're having fun, you will do well at it, and money will eventually follow. And tip five is to keep saving as much as you can every month, and take care of your manage your personal finances as, you know, as to the bare minimum of investing and insurance.
Okay, super. Great, Soren. With that, we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for making time for this conversation. And before going, where can our listeners follow you or get in touch with you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is TheSaurin, TheSaurin.
Super. I had a great time hosting you. Hope you enjoyed your time on the show as well.
Definitely did.
Super. Thanks, Soren. Best wishes always. Cheers. So that brings us to the end of today's conversation. And before we wrap up, here's an interesting fact for the day. According to a read from Entrepreneur, 23% of startups mentioned team issues leading to failures. So would you start a career in a startup, or do you prefer to establish yourself before taking risks? Over to you to think about it. So that's it for today. This is Dakshin Adyantaya signing off. Don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms, or get in touch with me on thedeliberatetalks@gmail.com. Join in next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.